tonight. You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Mike Thornhill. It's a joy to be with you all this morning to worship. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, please turn to Psalm 46. We'll be going through the whole chapter. Now hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning and worship you. And as we open your holy and most excellent word, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you more. Open our minds to understand the scriptures and show us your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our kids love summertime, and we have four kids that are 5 years old and under. And they all love to play outside. But as you know, we all live in Florida here. And we all experience intense thunderstorms. So you have a typical day, about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, where the clouds become dark, the wind begins to blow, and then all of a sudden you hear off in the distance the rumble of the thunder. And when that happens, my kids all look at each other and they bolt inside. Daddy, I'm afraid. And they all come and they grab my leg and they hold on tight. And I tell them, don't be afraid. Daddy is with you. And I help them work through their fear so that they might find comfort. And when my kids run out of the storm and into my presence, they find comfort that helps them deal with their fear. And similarly, in Psalm 46, we learn that just like I comfort my kids and help them work through their fears, our Heavenly Father is always present to comfort and help His children work through their greatest fears and challenges in life. Therefore, God's people can be confident in His protection, His presence, and His power. Now, many commentators believe this psalm is a response to a specific event in Israel's history where God delivered His people from a powerful enemy. The story can be found in 2 Kings chapters 18 through 19. This was a time when Sennacherib, The king of Assyria was conquering nation after nation and destroying everything in his path. And Jerusalem, the city of God, was his next target. Now you can imagine the emotions and fear that these people experienced. In the darkness of the night, as they looked over the walls of Jerusalem, they saw 185,000 Assyrian soldiers just waiting to attack. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is in fear for his life and the lives of his people. He's already dealing with making multiple bad decisions and ready to give up. Out of options, feeling hopeless, and thinking death was inevitable, Hezekiah calls on the Lord for help. The Lord hears his cry and answers through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Do not be afraid. I will make him fall." He goes on to say, "For I will defend this city to save it for my name's sake." Now that very night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down all 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And when the people of Jerusalem arose the next morning, behold, the scriptures say they were all dead. Now God protected his people and gave them strength to endure this trial. Even the powerful king of Assyria was struck down with the sword. If this invasion on the city of God was not what the writer of Psalm 46 had in mind, it sure is a beautiful and very clear picture of God as the refuge and strength for his people. A very present help in trouble. Now the focus of this psalm is on the Lord and how his presence makes a difference in the lives of those who trust him. This psalm opens with a declaration that God is the protector and sustainer of his people. A place of safety and security. A place where our hearts and minds can find comfort when our lives are falling apart. Look with me now to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You see, God not only protects his people from evil in the world, but he also provides strength to endure the challenges that we face in this life. King Hezekiah and the people of Judah were facing real soldiers, but they were also battling real internal emotions. Not only was King Hezekiah afraid for his life, but I'm sure he struggled with the fear of failing, of letting his people down, of not being able to protect them, of not being able to keep them safe. A feeling of helplessness. We can relate to King Hezekiah, can't we? Friends, God was with Hezekiah in his fears. And he's with you in your fears too. Many of us struggle with the fear of failure. The good news is that we have already failed. That is what the gospel says. And the best news is that Christ has not. And he delights to use broken and repentant people who have failed in this life for his glory. Now we are not facing 185,000 soldiers ready to attack, but we are facing a real enemy who's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy our lives, to destroy our marriages, to destroy our churches, to destroy our friendships, to destroy our faith. In times of trouble, Jewish leaders would often look to Egypt for help when they should have turned to the Lord. Similarly, in our day and age, we often look to the world and everything that it offers for help when we should be turning to the Lord as well. Brothers and sisters, God is a very present help in trouble. Do you believe that? This word trouble here is very interesting. In the original language, it can be translated as pain, anguish, or pressure. Think of someone being backed into a corner with no escape. It literally means a wanting to cry. This was the situation King Hezekiah found himself in. Under pressure, literally backed into a corner with no escape, and not only wanting to cry, but he literally cried out to the Lord for help. I wonder if some of you have ever felt this way. I wonder if some of you are feeling this way right now as you sit in your chair. Maybe you're dealing with the pain from a broken relationship. Maybe you're just under pressure and not quite sure how to proceed and just want to cry. What do you do? What do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Sadly and often, we turn to worldly things for help, strength, and comfort in times of trouble instead of turning to the Comforter Himself, the Holy Spirit. Many turn to drugs, alcohol, things of that nature to cope with life and deal with fears, to battle against life's challenges. Many turn to pornography, food, or even just a day on the golf course. Many think a new relationship, more money, or a new job will help them find peace. Friends, only Christ is sufficient to wholly satisfy. The other day we were driving home from the park, and my youngest son, Shiloh, was hysterically crying. He's so upset. We tried giving him a toy. We tried putting some music on for him. The other kids were trying to calm him down. Nothing was working. The minute we gave him his bottle, he calmed down and he just drank. He was hungry. The only thing that could satisfy him was his milk. Similarly, we try to deal with our fears and our emotions and the challenges of life with everything but the pure milk of the Word, which promises to strengthen us, nourish us, and satisfy our souls. It was only when Hezekiah was out of options that he turned to the Lord. But even when Hezekiah was faithless, God was faithful. The first words God told King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah were, "Don't be afraid. I will defend this city." Verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 46 say, "Therefore we will not fear, even when the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam." Now, we don't know exactly what that means, for the earth to give way, or for the mountains to be moved into the heart of the sea. But many of us do know what it means for the unthinkable to happen in our lives. For circumstances to change in a moment. For life as you know it to change with one phone call or one diagnosis. We don't know what it means for the earth to give way, but we do know what it means to lose people we love. To watch our kids go astray. To be told you're no longer wanted or needed. To be hurt and rejected by others. To experience a life-altering illness that turns your whole world upside down. How do you respond when the unthinkable happens in your life? when it feels like everything you know is falling apart. The devil provides all types of opportunities for comfort. However, they are temporary and usually only lead to more despair and more brokenness. Often our troubles increase because we try to do things on our own strength and apart from the Lord. After trying to do things in his own strength, King Hezekiah turned to the Lord in prayer. And so should we. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 say this: "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard or protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, just like my kids found refuge in the arms of their Father, we too can find refuge in the arms of our Heavenly Father. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Our lives may change in a moment, but the covenant of our Lord lasts forever. Isaiah 54:12 says this: "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." This leads to our second point. God's people can be confident in his presence. Look with me now to verses 4 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah." Notice the stark contrast from verse 3 to verse 4. In verse 3, the waters roar and foam. But in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A river of peace. A river of blessing. The psalmist's view here changes. In the first three verses, he describes life outside the walls of Jerusalem or outside the city of God. And in these three verses, he describes life inside the city of God, or inside the walls of Jerusalem. Outside, the waters rage. Inside, there's a river whose streams are gentle. The difference between the two descriptions is the presence of God. All throughout Scripture, a river has been a symbol of God's presence. All the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, the text reads, "The river flowed out of Eden to water the garden." Ezekiel 47:9 tells us, "Everything will live where the river goes." And in Revelation 22, John was shown the river of the water of life, which describes the wonderful, wonderful blessings of God's presence. It's been said that the river is a metaphor for the presence of God. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit who continuously pours out the love and grace of God on his church. And what's interesting is that Jerusalem, the city of God, did not have an actual river in the city. God was their river. God was their source of life. In Hebrews chapter 12, we learn of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24 tells us, "We, the church, have come to the new Jerusalem, the city of the living God, and by doing so, we have come to Jesus." This text describes the church as the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Verse 5 of our text says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. God, Elohim, the Mighty One, is in the midst of her. Us, His people, His church, our God is with us. Right here, right now. And He is here to help us work through any and every issue that we face in this life. The text reads, God will help her when morning dawns. But it can be translated, God will help her, His church, every morning of every day. The idea is God is always present, always available, and always willing to help you. Second to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is the number one selling Christian book in the world. It's a wonderful book written by John Bunyan. If you haven't read it yet, I'd encourage you to pick up a copy. Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory for a person's spiritual journey. The main character's name is Christian, and Bunyan uses his physical or real life journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And it's used as an allegory for a person's spiritual journey from death to life. And there's a chapter in the book called Christian in Trouble. And in the chapter, the character Christian falls into what Bunyan calls the Slough of Despond. Now, the Slough of Despond is a thick, muddy swamp, a place where fears, doubts, depression, and sin just accumulate. And it goes on to say that Christian, because of his burden, began to sink. Christian struggles to get out with all his strength and with all his might, but he could not get out of the muck and mire because his burden was so heavy. Then a man steps on the scene whose name is Help. Christian tells Help that fear took over his mind, which caused him to veer off the path. Help says to Christian, "Give me your hand." And he pulls him out. He sets his feet on a rock, on solid ground, and on the path to blessing, joy, and peace. Are any of you stuck in the Slough of Despond this morning? Are you stuck in an addiction? Are you struggling with depression or anxiety? Or maybe you're experiencing the weight of guilt and shame for something that you've done. Whatever has you stuck, Help is here. And His name is Jesus. And how does Jesus help us? In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus says this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In verse 39, this was said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. In the city of God there is a river, and out of that river flows gentle streams who make glad the city of God. And I believe those streams are the ordinary means of grace. Help comes and works through God's people, through the Word of God, through prayer and the sacraments in the context of the local church. This is how God promises to help and strengthen and bless His people. One pastor put it this way, "It is through the ordinary means of grace that the ascended Christ, by the Spirit, saves, sanctifies, and comforts His chosen ones." Think of those gentle streams as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, using their gifts to love and serve one another in the local church. This is our calling, to love one another, to serve one another. The church is where we are supposed to practice the covenant, where we come to worship and meet with God as His people and community, where we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ together in unity, not thinking of our own interests only, but the interests of others also. The church is where we come to get nourished and strengthened by the means of grace, so that we might go out into the world and glorify God. Do you believe that? Verse 5 shows us the city of God cannot be moved and is therefore stable. In contrast, verse 6 tells us that the nations rage and the kingdoms totter, meaning they are unstable and can be destroyed. This is a picture of the church in the world. When everything in the world seems unstable, the church is unmovable. Why? Because of the presence of the Lord. It is not the city itself that is great and unmovable. It is God who is great and unmovable. It is the presence of the Lord that brings the peace, the stability, and the blessing. Sadly and often, we do things out of selfish ambition and according to our own agendas. We walk by the flesh and not the Spirit. And when we do this, we miss the opportunity of blessings, peace, and joy. We must walk by the Spirit and be dependent upon His leading and His power. This leads to our third point. God's people can be confident in His power. Look with me now to verses 8 through 11. The psalmist now takes us back outside the walls of Jerusalem, where he calls God's people to come. Behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. The Lord Himself defeated the Assyrians. He alone destroyed the 185,000 soldiers seeking to attack the city of God. This very well could be Hezekiah calling the people of Jerusalem to come and behold this amazing sight before their eyes. The one who defeated 185,000 Assyrian soldiers is with you. The Lord of hosts is with His people. Friends, this is just one of many mighty works of the Lord that we must remember. All throughout Scripture, God calls His people to remember who He is and what He has done on their behalf, to help them work through their fears and their challenges in this life. One commentator put it this way: every page of Scripture is an invitation to come and behold the works of the Lord. Time and time again, the Lord has revealed His sovereign rule over all. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the power of God on display. When God's people look back to the works He has done in history, it gives us confidence in what He's doing now and what He might do in the future. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Jesus and His disciples are in a raging storm out on the Sea of Galilee. Massive waves are crashing on the boat. The wind is howling. And while the disciples are afraid for their lives, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And the disciples cry out to Jesus, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you see what happened here? The disciples have lost confidence in the Lord's protection, presence, and power. Then Jesus reminds them of His power by saying, "Peace, be still." And they witness the wind cease and experience a great calm. When they were reminded of His power, they experience peace. The storms we experience in life are the same storms God uses to lead us closer to Himself. to build our trust and confidence in Him. Just as Jesus was in the boat with the disciples in total control of that storm, He is in you and in total control of all of your circumstances. Have you experienced the power of God in your life? Have you ever just sat and meditated on all that God has done for you? When you face the challenges of life, just stop and think of the challenges that Jesus faced for you. Let that be the motivation for all you do. Isaiah 67:10 says this, "I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that He has granted them according to His compassion, according to the abundance of His steadfast love." As we leave this place today and go our separate ways, be still and know that God is God. Think not only of what God has done throughout history, but think about what He has done in your life personally. King Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem saw God destroy 185,000 Assyrian soldiers on their behalf. But they never saw the Word become flesh. They never saw the Son of God live a perfect and sinless life, then willingly go to the cross to die for the forgiveness of their sins. They did not see the power of God in the resurrection of Christ. They did not see Him ascend to heaven, where He now sits at the right hand of the Father in power and glory, interceding on their behalf. Church, we have seen the greatest act of deliverance in all of human history. Jesus Christ defeating sin, Satan, and death forever. We have seen the greatest act of power in all of human history, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are two groups of people in Psalm 46, and there are two groups of people in this world. Those who belong to Jesus and those who fight against Him. Which group are you in? To experience the protection of God, you must belong to Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Personally? If you have not, do not wait another minute. Like Hezekiah, cry out to the Lord to be saved so you can say, God is my refuge and strength. And experience the protection, the presence, and the power of God in Jesus Christ. And if you do belong to Jesus, rejoice. And like my kids found rest in their Father's arms, may you find rest in the person and work of Jesus Christ all the days of your lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for Jesus, for sending Your only Son for us, Your people, for Your gracious provision, love, and care for Your people. Help us to take the truths of Scripture that we've learned today and apply them to our lives so we might know You more and love You more. In Jesus' name, amen.